Blog Talk Radio.
Well, what up, man? You know what I'm saying? So I'll be telling these niggas, man, shit in the game, man. Shit
tell them,
real,
done, man.
Kid.
Let them niggas know, man. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely real, boy.
Yeah.
Trying to get
this loot anyway. Hey, yo, Queen, get the money. Long time, no cash. I'm caught up in the hustle where the guns go blast. The fool retaliated, so I had to think fast. Pull out my heat first, see, pull out a seat last. Now, who the fuck you think is living to this day? I'm trying to tell these young niggas crime don't pay. They looked at me and said, Queens niggas don't play. Do your thing, I'll do my kids, stay out of my way. Type hard, trying to survive in New York State. But can't stop till I'm eating off a platinum plate. Po-po comes around and tries to relocate me. Lock me up forever, but they can't deflate me. Cause having cash is highly addictive.
Thank you for tuning in to the Clown Hour. I'm your host, Most Step First. I'm the creator of Sports Blog Clown, The Clown Times, sponsored by K. You can find me on web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you're able to find me on Facebook. Just do a search in the upper left-hand corner. That search window that you see, just perch right there. Just waiting for you to type in the words, The Clown Times. Again, that's Clown Times, spelled with K. You can find me there as well. Well, I figure we, first of all, kick off this podcast with a tribute to one of my favorite rap groups of all time, Mobb Deep's Prodigy. He passed, like, yesterday at the young age of 42. I still can't believe that. I mean, all the hip-hop stars of my generation in years of the mid-late 80s and 90s are passing. It's just one of those reminders that life is indeed fleeting and that I am also old as hell. But at any rate, we're going to break down the NBA Finals a little bit more. We took a break and talked about tennis last week because the French Open, rightfully so. So we're going to devote this podcast to, and by the way, last week's podcast was epic. By the way, shout out to Janina Reed from Real Tennis Fans. Please check out our podcast every week on YouTube. But at any rate, we're going to break down the NBA Finals some more and talk about these crazy-ass NBA trades as it leads up to, NBA draft, which is tomorrow night. So help me break that down. My partner in crime, y'all know him from The Yard / HBCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio every Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio. Dwayne Nash is back in the house. What's going on, brother man?
Scott, first and foremost, one of the most slept on Mobb Deep hits that people really don't talk about. One of my favorites. The first time I was actually introduced to Mobb Deep, album Juvenile Hell, the single, Hit It From the Back.
Yes.
My God. Hit it from the back like that. But, you know, I digress.
You know what? I have a quick story right quick before I let you go on about Mobb Deep. Well, my favorite album, one of my favorite hip-hop albums of all time, to me, my personal, I believe, is one of the best albums, The Infamous, which is where this song came from, obviously, as well as Temperature Rising and other hits that they had. You know, I remember playing this particular song that led up this podcast, like, throughout my time in Myrtle Beach over fall break when I was in college. And so that's I wore the hell out of that album, especially that particular figure. That's probably my favorite song off the album. And that album had several hits.
Yes. And, you know, they were involved in one and the biggest hip-hop beef of all time, of course, that East Coast, West Coast beef. My favorite song to come out of that beef, of course, being L.A., the joint that they did with Capone and Noriega, their Queens brethren.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right, man. You know, we have a lot of these MCs of our own age, all dying before the age of 50, with Fife Dawg at 45, Heavy D at 44. You know, Prodigy at 42, Nate Dogg was 41, Sean Price a couple of years ago was 43. So, yeah, man, as I'm sitting here eating a Taco Bell taco, this is going to be very contradictory. We need to go ahead and watch our health as black men. Like I said, I know it sounds contradictory, but it's something that needs to be said and done by myself as well. So, most definitely, brothers, let's go ahead and get that done, man, because I understand he was living with sickle cell anemia,
Right.
You know, that probably combined with his lifestyle was probably not the best way to do it. But, man, did he give us some gems to live by,
yes,
man.
Yes, he did. Exactly. It's sad. I'm still sad. I'm sad for a while. Probably not as sad as I was when Fife Dawg left us, but sad nevertheless, because he's one of the more underrated MCs out there. And
yeah.
Rest in peace, Prodigy. What can I say? Rest in peace, Prodigy. Let's brighten this up a little bit. We get to get sad again. You know, we just had, obviously, the NBA Finals last week. You all know that. And I think you caught it. A gentleman's sweep.
Yeah.
Golden State beat Cleveland 4-1. And we won't spend too much time mainly because of the flurries of these crazy NBA trades and the NBA draft coming, which I know we're going to spend the lion's share of this podcast on. But I just want to get this out of the way and talk to you last week about this. A couple of things from that. Do you view, like, remember the summer of Kevin Durant, where, you know, it was either going to be back to OKC, Boston, who had the ring and had a strong case,
mm-hmm.
or Golden State, which a lot of people thought, he's not going to go to Golden State, is he? And, of course, he did, and, you know, and the rest is history, as they say, you know. It kept up a boring-ass regular season, or even more boring-ass playoffs, and even worse, one of the worst finals, even though they said that it was one of the most watched finals, if not the most watched finals. I call bullshit on that, but that's not here on there. But at any rate, they won 4-1. KD was the MVP, and rightfully so. Dude dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that a lot of cats thought that he, including yours truly, thought that he was going to be just a passenger along the ride, he led a team full of all-stars, bruh. I mean, the way he took over – And to Golden State's credit, they allowed it. They said,
yeah.
"Bro, I mean, soon as they brought KD in, cats like Steph Curry, Draymond Green, who started the recruitment, who allegedly started the recruitment, what's his face, Klay Thompson, those cats, they were like, bruh, do you? We're gonna move the ball around. Do you? Don't worry about us. We'll follow you. Do you? We'll follow everything fall into place. And boy, did they."
Yeah.
So, you know, suffice to say, this is KD's team going forward. And, you know, the fact that he already said he's going to opt out and sign for less money so that they can retain this piece of such as Andre Iguodala can be taken care of, as well as a few other cats, which will obviously ingratiate him some more in the locker room. Now that you've seen, because I know we've been talking junk about KD going to a team that beat him in the playoffs last year, they died down 3-1. Do you view him any differently now that not only did he win a Chad championship, that you have to call him a champion, but he led the team. He led these guys. He led
now,
these guys. So do you view him any differently going forward?
Well, first and foremost, let me say this. No one said anything about Andre Iguodala when Golden State beat the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs when he was playing with Denver, only to go to Golden State the following year. But I digress. I don't even like going into that argument, but I like bringing up stuff like that. I do. I like to go ahead and bring up that little.
Well, people say he's not an all-star like KD, but, you know, I get your point. I get your
call. Yeah, well, I mean, he was an
all-star,
but, you know, I like to go ahead and club that sport and jab people with it just to poke them and get a little fun. But you're right. He's not the same class. I know. I get it. I don't see him any differently. I remember saying on this show, I understood his move to OKC. To Golden State. I only saw two contenders, truthfully, in where he could have gone last summer, and that was Golden State or San Antonio. And the fact that he chose Golden State over San Antonio was a slight surprise, because I thought he would have probably taken the tax break. But like I said before on this show, if what was reported is true, he also wanted to go to an urban city, further his philanthropic endeavors. And another bigger city other than Oakland between the two of them, especially.
Right.
So
yeah.
I understood the move. I wasn't one of these people who were up in arms about this whole deal of him going to a team that beat him. You know, my thing is, maybe he saw that Oklahoma City team, the way it was constructed before he left. And remember, they had just traded away Serge Ibaka away to Orlando
right.
to bring in
right.
Oladipo. Even though I thought that offense would have been high-powered with Oladipo, Westbrook, and Durant, maybe he thought that team still wasn't strong enough to beat Golden State. So
right.
why not go to a team that you feel as though that you're going to thrive in and compete for a championship, if not win it all? So, no, I don't look at him differently. The only thing that I was slightly disappointed was in him doing or saying at the end of the finals, and I shouldn't say disappointed. I should say it just mm-hmm. stung a little bit, was when he started to shout out, you know, D.C. and the PG County area. Being a D.C. guy and the fact that we wanted him here so bad, I mean, what do you expect a player to do when he wins the title, especially his first one? He's going to shout out his hometown. But
right.
it just would have been it would have felt a whole lot greater to do it with the hometown Wizards, in my personal opinion. But I didn't see that happening in a year or two. They still had some things that the organization of the Wizards needed to do in order to, one, have KD come here, and two, become a championship
right.
contender. But that's just me being picky and me being a D.C. native and me being a Wizards fan, wishing he was here, but still happy for the brother for winning his first title.
And I am, too. I am, too. He's all accounts a good dude. And as much clown I threw his shit, I threw his way last summer in our year for going to a team that beat him after he had him down 2-1, I think he did feel that, you know, this was his best shot. Last year's
mm-hmm.
team was his best shot. And that if he didn't do it then hell, when the hell am I going to do it? So I understand it. I understand it. I mean, I'm old school, but I understand it. So going from one guy who did the championship jump into another guy in LeBron James when he went to Miami years ago, there's talk that he may be out. He may be leaving Cleveland in 2018 because his wife apparently wants to live in L.A. full-time going forward. And then LeBron's contract is up at the end of next season, rather. And there's talk that they maybe make some moves that, you know, they're trying to get Paul George, but that didn't happen. And apparently they're trying to Jimmy Butler trading for Jimmy Butler, but that may not work because Jimmy Butler apparently is afraid that LeBron may not be there
mm-hmm.
like a few years. And Kyrie Irving has come out and said that, you know what, I may have to see if I can force my way out of Dodge if LeBron's not going to be here past next season. All
yeah.
because Cleveland, and by Cleveland I mean Dan Gilbert, owner Dan Gilbert, broke off the general manager, David Griffin, like yesterday, which I thought was, which I thought was crazy, in that all he did was make the roster moves to make Cleveland 3-time Eastern Conference champion and a world champion last season.
Mm-hmm.
It just boggles my mind. So, surely LeBron ain't going to leave again, though, right? Because, I mean, look, I know that he's living on his promise of bringing the championship back to Cleveland. But there's one thing I noticed about this cat is that he refuses to name Gilbert by name, say Gilbert by name. He always
mm-hmm.
refers to him as the owner. Because obviously, and rightfully so, he hasn't gotten over what Dan Gilbert said and did about him on the way out when he went to Miami. And nor should
yep.
he forget that. And I think that's a bridge that's never going to be repaired. I mean,
no.
it is what it is. LeBron's here on a mission. As the mission is accomplished, peace out. And I think that may happen soon as well. But I just don't see him going to the Lakers because why would he try to leave? Why would he try to chase the legacy of not only Magic and Kareem, but Shaq and Kobe, especially Kobe, to since he's compared to a lot.
Yeah.
And also the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers is a dumpster fire. I mean, sure, they're better than the Lakers right now, but they're perennial underachievers as far as I'm concerned in terms of their talent and what they've done or what they haven't done in the playoffs. And then, you know, I know that he and Chris Paul are best friends. You know, Chris Paul, he's the godfather of Chris Paul's son. But I think it's vice versa. But at any rate, I just don't see it. Like, what say you? Do you see LeBron leaving? I mean, let alone to L.A.?
I'm going to say yes. I do see him leaving. And the reason why is, unfortunately, man, every June, those ghosts keep coming back. It's like it's an annual infestation of unfortunately for him that he has to deal with, of these ghosts that he has to chase, and Magic, and Jordan, and Bird, mainly Jordan, of course, but
right.
He just has to deal with it every June. And he has to fight that thing every year, and he keeps hearing it, especially when he doesn't win a title.
Right.
The way that this team is currently constructed, I do not think, and it's mainly because of the bench. Excuse me. It's mainly because of the bench players. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
I didn't think that this Cavaliers team could beat Golden State in the finals. But there was a high chance of them winning game 3. And if they won game 3 and won game 4, the entire complexion of this series would have been completely different. And to see that Golden State Warriors team on its heels, let alone watching them on their heels in game 4, just in one game, if they were on their heels in the entire series, I don't know how they would have had to have dealt with it. And it's a possibility that, you know, and I hate to say it, that Cleveland could have won that series had they won game 3. That was a very pivotal pivotal game, in my personal opinion. Had Cleveland been able to win that game, it could have looked the complexion of that series would have looked completely different. I mean, for obvious reasons, but I just think that Cleveland would have been a little bit more aggressive in terms of their play, and they probably would have been able to sneak a surprise on us. But with them not being able to get help from the guys on the bench, from the guys that they needed help from, Iman Shumpert, Kyle Culver, once again, a guy that LeBron asked to have come over, and him come over and not shoot threes well. Deron Williams comes over, another guy LeBron asked for. He comes over, doesn't play well. Your supporting cast isn't playing up to the level that they need to play for. I don't need them to play higher. I just need them to meet expectations. And they couldn't do that. And that was, in my personal opinion, the reason why they lost that series. You had Kyrie play to the level which you expect out of him. Kevin Love played well. There were games in which J.R. Smith even gave you 10 points plus, which is what I expect from him. So you got what you expected out of the guys that you expected from. It was that supporting cast where he needed the help from that he didn't get it from. And I don't see them improving. Plus, where there's rumors of Jimmy Butler being told don't come to Cleveland because Kyrie and LeBron may not be there. Now they're saying that it's not true. But if that's even being said or even being thought about, there's a possibility that other players are thinking the exact same thing. And if they can't get help, that just leads to me thinking that LeBron's going to have to leave. He's not going to stay in a situation where he's going to end up at least not getting into the finals and being capable of competing for a title. He doesn't want to just get to the finals.
Like
he wants to have a team. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done that before. He wants to be on an organization that's competing for a title. Now, if that means he has to go to L.A., so be it. Now, will he want to go to – once again, you're talking about dealing with ghosts. My God. The Staples Center is already haunted as is with purple and gold ghosts. I don't know if he wants to deal with that. Now, he may want to deal with some of the red, white, and blue ghosts because there ain't none of those. So if I were to see him to go anywhere, mind you, first and foremost, you heard it here first on this show.
Uh-oh.
I said that LeBron wouldn't go to Cleveland.
Right. I do remember that.
I'm
yes.
thinking
you called
if
it
he
shit.
Goes to L.A., if he goes to L.A., he's going to the Clippers. I think Jerry West would try to entice him to come there if he decides to leave as a free agent. But if I'm Cleveland, I'm not allowing
that.
LeBron to
work. Out there.
Yeah, and he's doing his best to try to keep CP3 out there too. Now, I don't know if it works, but the talks of LeBron coming out there may entice him to stay. But if I'm Cleveland, I'm not having what happened in 2010 happen again. I can't let him leave without getting any assets. There's no way in the world I can't have that happen twice. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And if that happens again, Dan Gilbert, shame on you. Because you hear the rumblings. You see that the team is potentially in a situation where it can't win a title. If you can't bring in free agents, then you're going to have to ship them. In my personal opinion, you're just going to have to do it. Paul George ain't coming. Jimmy Butler ain't coming. Carmelo is still out there. Matter of fact, I just found it interesting that D. Wade is willing to stay in Chicago. Now, maybe D. Wade is like, I got my rings. I just want the money because all this time I've been the sacrificial lamb and allowed everybody else to get their money. Now it's time for me to go ahead and get mine. And with that tweet he sent out, that's exactly what it sounds like to me, because he's saying that if he was younger, he would have gotten $150 million. So that just sounds like a dude who's money dry, if you will. You know, he wants that money, and I don't blame him. You got the talent, you got the ability, get your dough. But it was very easy for him to go over to Cleveland and get another ring. But yeah, he wants that money, so I ain't mad at him. But there are other superstars out there that could potentially come to Cleveland. If Cleveland doesn't make a move to get one of those guys, or at least a better supporting staff, I'm dealing LeBron. I'm dealing him. I got to.
But where are you going to get it? I mean, the thing is, you're never going to get equal value for a superstar. Especially one like LeBron James. You're never going to get. I see where you're coming from. They have to get something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like an outcast would say, go out and get something. No, it wasn't outcast. It was Goody Mob. But anyway, right.
That was Goody.
Yeah. Got my hip hop.
That's all right.
But nevertheless, I think to your point, Dan Gilbert is entering an area where he potentially cannot win. He knows what happened to him. Knew what happened to him the first time around. He fires David Griffin, who I thought was a very capable GM. LeBron said a heartfelt tweet that saying that, you know, hey, you know, this is ours. Couldn't have done without you. That was directed, and I'm paraphrasing that tweet, of course, but that was directed to me. I feel that it was directed at Dan Gilbert. LeBron refuses to call by name, and I don't blame him for that. I just think that it's going to be very interesting come 2018, and I think the cats in Cleveland know that the window's closing like rapidly, and
yes.
I think that I think that we may see the best run of this Cleveland team as we know it coming to an end sooner rather than later, and you know. Hey, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, the whole thing is, it's just hard to think what if. And I know I told a friend this, like, on my podcast last week, when we were talking tennis of all things, but she's a Clevelander, so I had to ask about it, like, later. But, you know, it's like game three. It's the ultimate what if.
Yeah.
What if Cleveland held on and won game three? Game busted the way they did in game four. It was a totally different series. I agree with you. I agreed with her. It would have been a totally different series. But as the saying goes, it is what it is. What happened happened. What's done is done. So you know, it's just one of those things. The moral of the story, boys and girls, if you have a chance to close out with the team on your home floor, you might want to do it. So
you might want to do it.
Right.
Play the whole 48.
Yeah. What was that?
Play the whole 48.
Play the whole 48, exactly. Play the whole damn 48. There you go, exactly. Now, if that wasn't crazy enough, how about these trades, man? I mean, first.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I know that all these teams are willing and dealing for the draft positioning when we've seen some already. First of all, D'Angelo Russell going from the L.A. to Brooklyn. God bless him.
Hey.
For Brooke Lopez for the 27th pick. What's up with that?
I was going to say funny that happened because I ironically just last night on our show referred to D'Angelo Russell as Spike Lee Jr. and the fact that he's going to Brooklyn just makes it break on that full circle. I didn't even think about that, so that's funnier than even what I thought it was when I first said it. My God. But, yeah, I thought that was a come-up for the Lakers because they get a good actually get a quality big man in Brooke Lopez to come out there and have a potential small man, big man game between Lopez and Lonzo Ball because we know that's what they're going after with the number two pick.
Yeah,
that
move almost screen would take a Lonzo Ball. That's what that move did, but go ahead.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I was thinking before we got closer to the draft. As much as they talked about Lonzo Ball leading up to it, my main question was, okay, so what do they do with D'Angelo Russell? And that's exactly what you do to him. You trade him. So they got their trading partner. And it's just interesting that this offseason is a lot more interesting than the playoffs itself because of all of the moves that have been made, all the potential moves that could be made or talked about, and then all of the players that are available in free agency and the places in which they can go. So this has just been a very interesting start to an NBA offseason that can be a complete whirlwind within the next couple of days. And to see how this all ends and where all of the pieces finally end up landing will be very, very interesting. But, yeah, that D'Angelo Russell trade to Brooklyn was an interesting move. And then the Dwight Howard from Atlanta to Charlotte move for a bunch of trash cans and aluminum cans.
I couldn't believe that trade was made.
I couldn't believe it either. But that says something. That says a whole lot about what Trevor Knight or Travis Knight, I'm sorry, thinks about Dwight Howard and the fact that he was able to send him to Charlotte like that. Now Charlotte gets the best big man that they've I guess you could say the best big man that they've had since Alonzo Mourning, but you know it's still to be determined. But this should be a wake up call for Dwight because Dwight didn't have a fantastic year in Atlanta, but he didn't have a horrible year. But there were a lot of stumbles throughout this past season. I thought that, you know, a trip home would help him out and do him good, but God, they don't even want you at the crib, bruh. So this would be a telling tale to a guy who a lot of people consider to potentially be a Hall of Famer later on in his career. I don't see it necessarily, but you know, I just want to see what this move does to him, it necessarily turns around Charlotte.
Right. Well, here's the deal with that. I noticed in the playoffs against your beloved Wizards, I almost called it the Bullets again.
I enjoy it.
There you go. Where there were stretches, there were times during the end of games where he wasn't on the court, he being Dwight Howard, of course. And if you look back at the stats, which I know you've done because you're a numbers guy like me, you notice that he averaged a pretty good double-double. He averaged 13 and a half points and 12.7 rebounds per, head of a block and a half per game.
He was supposed to have been a matchup nightmare.
Exactly. He did his thing.
And played correctly.
And just
because
didn't
want him. Because of the big men that Washington have, they had no one that could have potentially competed with Dwight Howard down in the block. They had no one.
Right.
And Gortat played horribly against Atlanta. And the fact that they didn't play Dwight more leads me to believe that they just didn't want him there anymore.
Which is just so perplexing. I wrote a rant earlier today on my blog about the enigma that is Dwight Howard. I mean, here's a dude who's so insanely, talented would be such an understatement. Dude averaged a good double double for his career.
Mm-hmm.
Over 17 points a game, over 12 rebounds per game, over a block and a half per game, and with all his career, he had great career in Orlando. He should have kept his ass in Orlando, by the way, but that's not here nor there. After he forced his way to L.A., he had a decent couple years in L.A. I think the fact that he played through injuries, he played through a torn labrum, and he suffered through bad backs, and it's about a bad back, I should say. It just really took away from his game, and the fact that the NBA is evolving to the point where a traditional big man is almost extinct. You have to play away from the basket, like how Chris Porzingis will get to him in a moment, as well as Boogie Cousins in New Orleans and his running mate Anthony Davis. All
mm-hmm.
three are big guys who can face you up and take you off the dribble, shoot over your eyes over your head, nail threes. It's crazy, this evolution of big men. They put the ball on the floor. Howard can't do that. I mean, he's a hell of a defensive player. He's a three-time defensive player of the year, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So he can get it done. He can get it done on the defensive end. He can rebound like crazy. He does have a place. His offensive game doesn't have a place in this NBA. I mean, the whole thing is he needs to evolve because he is so strong. He is so damn quick and athletic. I mean, you kind of wonder what if about this guy. What if he took him more seriously? What if he kept his ass in Orlando and saw that through? What if, right? Instead of trying to chase his brand, build his brand, everything. What if he just focused squarely on basketball, which drove Kobe Bryant crazy, by the way.
He was chasing ghosts. He was chasing a ghost that wore a Superman emblem that just happened to be the exact same position.
Shaquille O'Neal. Yep.
You know, and thought that he could follow in the footsteps, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it really didn't. So I'm thinking that the combination of Charlotte coach Steve Clifford, I think his first name is Steve. I know his last name is Clifford, who coached him in Orlando. And I think Orlando and in L.A., one of those places where he had his best seasons like under him. So he trusts Clifford a lot. And I think that Clifford is squarely in this young brother's corner. And, you know, he's going to a team that already has the fabulous point guard in Kemba Walker. And, you know, in another stretch five as well as stretch four. And Frank Kaminsky Jr. coming off the bench or starting. So they have nice pieces down there. Charlotte gets a big man that they sorely needed, at least on the defensive end. You know, Howard's presence will be felt. It's just that I just wonder, will this finally click for the White? Will the light finally go off in his head? Because if it doesn't, this is essentially a salary dump. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, because it's not like Atlanta got anybody good back. They got a couple of tomato cans and then a very low draft pick. So, the second round draft pick. So, and the fact that Shaw was able to finagle a high second round pick, the 31st pick in the draft, which is essentially a first round pick in return. So, at any rate, and the fact that Atlanta was willing to get rid of this dude, it just. He's so talented. And he's not a Malcolm, from what I understand. I mean, he's very likable. He's like a very nice brother. Very good brother. It's just, he just doesn't take it. I don't think he takes it seriously. I don't think he wants it. So,
yeah.
This is his last stand, bro. He's in Charlotte. This is his last stand.
He's facing a decline. You're right.
He's going to be the ultimate what if underachiever. It's just this.
Exactly, and I don't know where else he's going to go. This is his third team in the Southeast Division, He just hasn't played for Washington or Miami yet. But I digress, man. That's insane. I can't think of a guy that's played for so many teams in the same division, not named Tree Rollins or what's the other former Atlanta Hawk center that played for Chicago, and I think he may have played for Cleveland. I can't think of it. But, yeah, that's insane to play for so many teams in the same division.
Not Kevin Willis.
That's crazy. Kevin Willis. Yes.
Mm. I remember him with his, he had this alligator arms and.
Yes.
He could play, though. Yeah, alligator
arms. He could.
He could play. His short ass arms. But we'll get down on this, man. Well, actually, one more thing before I ask you a question about the draft coming up like tomorrow night. What the hell is going on in New York? What the hell is wrong with my Knicks? Why the hell is Phil Jackson even attempting to entertain to dangle Kristaps Porzingis? I know I was on him on Porzingis for a long time, wondering what the hell was he doing, bringing him in. But he is a unicorn. He's a 7-footer who can put the ball on the floor, can shoot the rock. He's tenacious on defense. He has swag. The fans love him. He loves New York. What the hell is Phil Jackson doing?
He's trying to get fired. He's trying to get fired. He's still got money on the books. He can't get that money if he quits. So he's trying to get fired. So, yeah, what's the best way to get fired? Trade away the best player. Or not bring in talent. He's already not brought in talent. So he's still there.
Either.
Well, yeah, that too. So, you know, he's done enough to get fired. But they don't want to just give him his money. So I guess the best way to do it is to go ahead and trade away the best player that's left on the roster. So, yeah.
Well, why can't – I mean, sure, I know I'm asking too much of James Dolan, the owner, to use common sense and just fire him for cause and whatnot, because Phil doesn't want to be there. It's just obvious, painfully obvious, that he does not want to be there. He wants to be in some teepee in Montana smoking weed or whatever the hell he does in his free time. It's hard being a Knicks fan. I know we have discussions every NFL season about how hard it is for you to be a fan of the Washington team, how hard it is for some fans here in Cincinnati to be fans of the Bengals.
Yeah.
But it's hard being it's so damn hard being a Knicks fan. I swear to God, and you heard it here first, I swear to God, if Phil Jackson is dumb enough to consummate a trade, shipping for Phoenix out of town and giving away Carmelo Anthony for nothing, I'm done. I'm not team hopping. I'm just done. I'm done with them. I'll be done with them.
Well, I would say as a fan of an organization that has sat back and watched dumb trades go down and watched some of my favorite guys walk out of that door, unfortunately, once he's gone, it should make you feel a little bit better. But you got to be a little cautious in terms of the moves that happen and bringing back quality players. With that said, I think I know exactly what it's going to take for him to get fired. He's going to have to walk in to work with Charles Oakley. He's coming to work with Oakley. They go ahead and you know, threaten Dolan a little bit. And I think that's how you get fired. But I guess Porzingis is the second best trading Porzingis. Is the second best way to get that done too, but yeah, I think he needs to give Charles Oakley a call and have him show up at the Garden one day, you know.
Man, okay, I swear to God, this is the last thing I'm gonna say about my Knicks. I swear to God, they have the assets they have are what most teams pine for. They have a young player. Well, first of all, like, they have a player in Carmelo Anthony. Sure, he's not the superstar he once was, but he's still the one of the most lethal scorers in the game.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
You have, in addition to that, you have a guy who's 7 feet tall, who can put the ball on the floor, can go around your ass, dunk on you, shoot free throws, shoot threes, and play tenacious defense, and you've gone for cheap.
Scott, you know what? And this is going to tie in with the draft on tomorrow night. Teams are pining for that position so much that they're taking guys who have been playing college ball, coming off the bench, and guys averaging less than 5 points a game as a freshman. These are guys that they're talking about, at least four of them right now that I can think of off the top of my head, that they're saying could be potentially top 20 picks tomorrow night, who have averaged less than 5 points a game in college ball, that are stretch fours or maybe stretch fives because they want a Porzingis-like player. But yet New York already has it, and they're talking about trading it away. It's insane.
Unbelievable.
It's insane.
You know what? If I didn't have a family, if I wasn't responsible law-abiding adult, I'd go drinking. I'd drink myself. I almost drink myself to death right now and go out and shoot and shooting folks. That's how depressed I am. That's how depressed I am. Not shoot folks. I'll really go to jail for that, but shoot myself. That's more bad. That's just better.
But you don't want to do that either because it hurts.
It's just insane, man. We haven't won a championship since the year I was born, 1973.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's not getting any better anytime soon. We had a flirtation with the Towers in the 90s and those two finals appearances. John Starks unfortunately shot us out of the test with two in the title in game 7. Patrick Ewing got hurt when we went to the finals that one year and suffered a gentleman sweep by the hand of Tim Duncan in the Spurs. That was his first title at the Spur.
99, 2000.
It's hard, man. It's really hard. But, all right, before I get any more depressed, we'll get you out here on this. The draft tomorrow night. We talked about players that teams are reaching for to get that next Porzingis, so to speak. Who's the best player in the draft, you think? I think as long as the ball is not even close.
Ooh. Wow. I think it's Markelle Fultz. That's me being biased to a hometown guy. But man, if Lonzo Ball is the best guy in this draft, God help this draft. I mean, he's talented.
It's not a deep draft, man.
That's the thing, because I'm hearing different things. I'm hearing that it is deep. I'm hearing that it's not deep. I'm hearing
it's
that it's deep, but these guys won't meet expectations. It's weird. It's like a lot of things that I'm seeing that's going on in terms of the draft prospects and where the mock drafts have people going. It has me scratching my head. Like, first and foremost, okay, they're saying that Markelle Fultz will be the will go first overall to Philly, right?
Yeah. Right.
Now, if that happens, this will be the first time – well, actually, Ben Simmons started it off last year, being the first guy in the modern draft era. And by that, I say starting with the lottery back in 84, mm-hmm. where you had a number one overall pick not playing in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So to have back-to-back drafts in which that happens, it's a head-scratcher. And – then once again, you know, you have all these freshmen that are being looked at, all these international players being looked at, all these guys in the top 20 that are being drafted solely off of potential. And like I just said, I saw at least four guys who are averaging 5 points, who averaged 5 points or less last year while playing in the NCAA. You've got Zach Collins that played at Gonzaga, who's basically the number two center on that team. They're talking about him being a top 10 pick. You got the guy at UCLA, the freshman, who's a 6'10", 6'11", once again another one of those potential stretch guys who averaged less than 5 points a game. You have the power forward out of Duke, who's another guy that averaged less than 5 points a game. I'm averaging almost as many points a game sitting at the crib as these dudes are practicing and playing in games. Really, 5 points a game at 6'10", that's literally three buckets. That's the three buckets.
He's a lottery pick. Oh, my God.
And these guys will all be top 20 picks off of potential. You know what I'm saying? You got a guy in Dwayne Bacon who's a scoring machine. He's at least a sophomore. You know, talking about being drafted in the second round, and you haven't had a non-one-and-done or high school player be drafted at the number one spot since Blake Griffin. He was the last one that was not a one-and-doneer. He's played 2 years. He gave you two.
Right.
But everybody else is giving you one or less. And man, the talent pool, and that's part of the reason why the league looks the way it does. You talk about the imbalance in power in every one of these super teams. It's only super teams because there's so many untalented guys and unproven guys and potential guys in the league that they have to compete against, and it makes it that much easier.
Well, you know what we're going to do next week? I'm glad you said that. I want to focus next week's podcast on these executives not doing their damn jobs, because that's where it's coming from. And I know we're going to spend a lot of time on the draft next week. So be prepared, bro.
Hey, I'm going to say like this, and I'm glad that you say that, because it leads me to something that I've been holding in for a very long, well, at least a week. Rob Parker, Fox Sports.
Yep.
Stop blaming LeBron for this in terms of the league being in shambles. This is not LeBron's fault. There are a lot of things I could blame LeBron for, but not that. That's the GM's fault. And I'm glad that we're going to talk about it next week, because I'm going to be ready.
All right. I want to be ready, damn it. Be ready. But anyway, I'm already ready. All right. We're going to talk next week, man. No doubt. Peace. Good luck at Dwayne Nash. Please check him out on Legion Radio every Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio, as well as the sports blog, the Clown Times, the Yard Search HCCU Sports as well. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting week next week, you know, especially like with the draft already transpired, and who knows, more trades may be happening. But please, I beg you, Phil Jackson, I want you to be fired, but please don't trade Chris Love for Zingas. For all that's holy, please don't do it. But anyway, it's Scott Brooks, y'all. Thanks a lot for listening to the Clown Times. Take care. 06. Good night.